You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, part of Scout Media. With me is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, NFL draft analyst. Luke, how are you today, my friend?
Ooh, well, you know, it'll be 2 days ago by the time this podcast comes out. But for me right now, the national championship was last night. So what a game that was. Excited to get to talk about that a little bit later on.
Yes, we are. And we will get to it. We're committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So help us out. Share the episodes on Twitter, on Facebook, Reddit, whatever social accounts you're using. And also go check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have exclusive premium Broncos content, kind of some more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. Our subscribers actually get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics, and annual premium members get a one-year subscription to Sports Illustrated included. So go check that out. The Scout.com network has some of the best college football and NFL draft coverage and NFL coverage on the web. Also, follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. We really need each listener. Just take a second and help us out. If you have an account on Twitter, find at Locked On Broncos, click the follow button. The home of Locked On Broncos, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher if you're an Android user. We got another season in the books. We got coaching changes. We got free agency. We got the draft. And you're not going to want to miss a single episode. All right. Now, we're going to get to, as Luke intimated there a minute ago, some national championship talk, some NFL draft talk, frankly, here in just a minute. But before we do, we'd be remiss if we didn't break down the latest in the Denver Broncos' search for a new head coach. Now, Tuesday, Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Vance Joseph showed up to interview at Dove Valley at 11 a.m. The interview lasted, I'm told, until about 4 p.m. That's about a five-hour sit-down, people. Okay. Now, granted, Joseph is a candidate, at this stage with nothing but time on his hands, but that amount of time they spent together tells us something, I would think. Following the interview, John Elway tweeted the following, quote, "We enjoyed visiting with Vance Joseph at our facility today. He has great leadership qualities and a strong vision of what it takes to win," closed quote. First off, Luke, let me serve this up to you. How do you interpret Elway's tweet there? Great leadership qualities with a strong vision.
Well, if you go back through and compare all the tweets he's made about the three interviews they've had so far, I mean, it's all pretty like typical, you know, coach speak. Every single one has the word great in it, for instance. It's really just kind of a brief iteration of what they really think of the three candidates. And to me, it's just kind of an indication of they're trying to just, you know, produce a message that the fans can get behind and, you know, point to that. So I don't really see that as being an indication of anything deeper or more substantial.
Some people have read a lot into Elway's tweets, and I would agree with you. It really is just another version of, let's call it front office speak, to feed the fans and even to feed the media. Now, immediately following the interview, the question of Joseph's whereabouts gripped the Mile High City, almost like it made me kind of harken back to the Peyton Manning days where guys were writing down tail numbers on airplanes trying to figure out where he was. Where in the world is Peyton Manning? But as it relates to Joseph, Mike Kliss, 9 News, Broncos insider, very respected, tweeted that Joseph was still in the building about half an hour after Elway's tweet. But then an interesting tweet from Woody Page contradicted Kliss's report. Woody said, quote, "Vance Joseph headed out of town. Kyle Shanahan, leader for Broncos job," closed quote. And then finally, we get word from Kliss that Joseph is actually staying in Denver overnight Tuesday, planning to fly to California for his next interview Wednesday. Kliss said, quote, "Vance Joseph staying in Denver as was the plan. We'll fly to San Diego for Chargers tomorrow. It's possible he and the Broncos continue to communicate," close quote. Now, Luke, the common consensus here basically is that if the Broncos let Vance Joseph leave, then They're moving on. Their target is Kyle Shanahan. What do you make of all this coaching intrigue, Luke?
Well, first of all, I think you have to remember that decisions aren't made on the spot, and head coaching positions aren't really offered. You know, sure, they've interviewed the other two candidates, but there's no way that there's no way that you walk into the third interview saying, okay, we're just going to offer him the job right now. I think that it's important to kind of marinate on the decision, to come out of that interview and say, all right, well, let's think about it. Who impressed us? Yada, yada, yada. So I don't think that the decision is made yet. And I think the fact that Vance Joseph is continuing on with his rest of his scheduled stops on his itinerary. I mean, he's got interviews tomorrow, as we know, with the Chargers. I believe Adam Schefter reported earlier that he has an interview Thursday with the 49ers.
Yep.
So, you know, he has a tour set up, and I don't really think that it's any kind of, you know, negative reflection on Denver that he's leaving. I think it's just more likely that they wanted some time to think it over and he has other places to be.
And that could be true, but I do tend to lean a little bit more toward the idea that if he does leave Denver, then they're probably looking elsewhere. They're probably focused more on Shanahan, and who knows, maybe it's Toe, but from what I've heard, it's Shanahan. And look, I mean, Vance Joseph is an exciting young coach. You know, you think about what he could do, kind of in possibly the same vein of what Mike Tomlin brought to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a guy who has won a Super Bowl and been to another. You know, and that's exciting, as Elway talked about, you know, leadership, vision for what it takes to win in the NFL. I would be supportive of the Broncos' decision if they do end up going with Joseph. I just think at this stage, and we've talked about it, you know, many times, that it's such a rare opportunity, the way the stars have aligned, for the Broncos to actually hire Kyle Shanahan. I just think they'd be making a mistake by passing up that opportunity. But hey, you know, I'm not the one getting paid to make decisions at Dove Valley, and that's probably a good thing. You know, the whole thing about in Elway we trust, I guess we're going to hang our hats on that mantra and hope for the best. But we're going to move on and talk about the national championship game. Before we do, let's talk about the sponsor of today's show, SeatGeek. Luke, hook us up.
Yeah, so SeatGeek, you know, this is the time of year when multiple leagues are rolling on. You've got the NBA, you've got the NHL. SeatGeek is the best way for you to be in person and find tickets for those games. And, you know, there's a team in so many cities these days. You know, forget Las Vegas, you've got them across the country. So even if we do end up with the Raiders, you'll still have an NHL team there coming up next year. And there's no better way to get to the games than SeatGeek and get the guaranteed seats that you want for a great value. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. Chad has it on his, and it's by far the easiest way that we have found to get tickets for the big game. I can be anywhere in the world, and with just a few taps, I can find seats immediately for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple sites for tickets. Now, prices can vary depending on where you shop, but only SeatGeek will always search all those sites and come back for you with the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That is why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats, snap them up, be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Now, every ticket that you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop worry-free for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Now, best part is our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Now, here's the thing. You got to follow these quick and easy steps. To get your $20 rebate on the tickets, just download the SeatGeek app, put it on your phone, like me and Chad, go to that settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code. It's quick. It's easy. It is LO Broncos. Again, that is LO Broncos. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you have made your first purchase. So it's quick and easy to just download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Broncos today.
Amen. If you're planning on attending any games coming up, you got to go check out SeatGeek. Put it on your phone. It's an easy way to save money and do it with confidence and peace of mind. Now, Luke, in what was easily one of the best national title games in my memory, the Clemson Tigers exacted their revenge on the Alabama Crimson Tide, winning it all, 35-31 on Monday night, and it was one hell of a game. Now, Luke, I know you had eyes on this game and have probably been geeking out on it big time ever since they kicked off. I want to talk about, you know, some key NFL draft prospects from this game, but before we do, give us your gut reaction on the national championship game.
First of all, can we get this just to be a 2 out of 3 series? Because after Alabama Clemson last year and this year, man, we are lucky to get to see such fine football on the national stage.
Amen.
What more can you say? Deshaun Watson is probably the most clutch football player in college football at the moment. He's not going to be in college football next year. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go into the draft. I think he's going to be a top of the first round target. Interestingly, he may be at the Senior Bowl, in which case he'd be coached by Hugh Jackson, the South team's head coach at the Senior Bowl, which means, you know, he could be in play for the Browns there in the top half of the first round with their two picks. But, you know, it's a great matchup to see, you know, him, the most, you know, one of the most experienced players in college football, cool as a feather, versus Jalen Hurts, the 18-year-old. Get that. Born in 1998. How old does that make you feel?
That's crazy.
Quarterback for Alabama. So I'm sure he'll be back in that game before long. But, man, what a crazy game. What a crazy finish it was.
Amen to that. Phenomenal game. We're going to go through a handful of names here, guys who, you know, we got a really long look at in the national championship game, who project at the NFL level this coming spring. And I want to start with one of the stars, Clemson wide receiver Mike Williams. And I just want to say, how many Mike Williams wide receivers is the Lord going to put on this earth? I mean, I can think of 4 just off the top of my head. But how impressive is this kid? 8 receptions, 94 yards, a touchdown. You know, he's 6'3", somewhere around 225 pounds. Luke, talk about where he fits in at the pro level. And I guess, you know, whether Williams is even going to be an option for the Broncos at pick 20. I mean, we do know the Broncos are pretty set at receiver, but this kid is spectacular.
He really is spectacular is the right word for it. He's explosive. He continues to just make plays. And we saw during, I think it was the second quarter or first or second quarter, at least, where he took a hard shot helmet to helmet, pretty clearly knocked out on the field. And he, you know, makes his way back into the game eventually and goes and makes some plays downfield. I mean, that's what he brings to the offense, is a vertical kind of nature, an aggressive nature. He's going to just go up and get the 50-50 balls every time. I mean, it's going to get thrown around there a lot when he's in the NFL. He has a background in basketball, so get ready for about 5 to 10 references to boxing out the defender every game. He's a playmaker. He's explosive. I don't think he's going to go in the top 10, which makes me think he's going to slide into that kind of 10 to 20 range. I think he's a target that I think every team has to consider if they need that explosive wide receiver. He's got the red zone frame at 6'3", 225. I mean, he's going to be making plays on Sundays for a while.
Yeah, it might not fit a Broncos need at this stage, considering the trenches and some other spots, but it is an opportunity if he does slide to get a blue-chip player like that. But let's move on to a kid who, he's a redshirt sophomore. We're not even sure yet if he's going to declare for the NFL draft. But I want to talk about a guy from the other side of the field, Alabama running back Bo Scarborough. Now, he carried the ball 16 times on Monday night, turned up 93 yards and 2 scores. Now, albeit it was in a losing effort, but this kid is 6', about 228. The Broncos could be in the market for a difference maker at running back, you know, at some point in the draft. Where does Scarborough fit in if he declares, Luke?
Well, Scarborough is kind of an interesting situation because he was a very, very highly touted recruit coming out a couple of years ago. And, you know, most people are going to look at him and say, oh, he's a sophomore. What business would he have coming into the NFL? Well, he was a third string running back last year behind Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake, two guys who got very highly drafted into the NFL. I mean, this guy is 6'2", like, you know, 228 pounds of just fury. I mean, this kid runs hard. He's just a ball of muscle and power.
My mistake. I typoed that. You're right. 6'2".
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so he's, you know, he's a powerful runner. And really the interesting thing is he is only a sophomore, but he graduated high school 3 years ago, which makes him eligible for the NFL draft. And we saw him last night. He was just dominant early with those 2 rushing touchdowns, but he broke a bone in his leg getting kind of chased down from behind on a tackle. Now, you kind of have to wonder, he's had some injury issues in the past. Does he just want to forego all that and go pro? And kind of avoid all that? You know, it's a talented backfield in Alabama. Obviously, you've got a sophomore in Damian Harris and a freshman in Josh Jacobs trying to steal carries. So maybe you just forego all that, just skip it, go pro. You know that your best pass, your best run blocking offensive tackle in Cam Robinson is going to be gone. So, you know, why not get out while the getting's good? I think he should go pro as a sophomore. I think he definitely has a shot to make it in the NFL. He'll be kind of a late round guy, but man, you don't want to get in this guy's way in the open field.
Yeah, I'm sure one of the concerns for him and his representatives would be, you know, how, with the, considering the injury, how could he perform, you know, at the pro days, at the combine and things like that would have to be under consideration, I'm sure. But he's certainly an exciting player and someone to keep an eye on. Next, let's bounce over back to Clemson. Let's talk about the tight end, the big guy, Jordan Leggett. He led the team in receiving Monday night, hauled in 7 catches for 95 yards. 6'5", about 258. He's a big fella. Now, the Broncos, they have a couple of young developmental tight ends that they like in A.J. Derby and Jeff Heirman, but I do expect them to bolster the position either in the draft or free agency. Of course, O.J. Howard from Bama's side, another tight end I'm sure that, Luke, you could wax poetic on, but talk about this kid, Jordan Leggett, Luke.
Yeah, well, he is a raw tight end. He's a good athlete, and I think he needs a lot of development when it comes to his route running and his blocking, much like a guy like A.J. Derby. But to me, what's interesting about Leggett is I don't have the numbers for 2016, but in 2015, 38% of his catches came on third down. You know, well over a third, approaching 2/5 of his catches came on the money down. I mean, this guy is a reliable target underneath. He's shown the ability to go vertical, as we saw when he kind of split the field on that cover two look against Bama in the game. So he's a player. He can kind of play in the slot. He can play in line. I think he's a really versatile guy when it comes to a tight end. And I think he's a guy who can have an impact on an offense as he continues to develop. O.J. Howard, you mentioned, he's another guy I really like. You know, there's no shortage of players in this game who are going to play in the NFL.
Amen to that. We got one more guy we're going to talk about. But before we do, I want to bring up something exciting that's happening over at Mile High Huddle. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, January 11th. Now, I'm sure most of you listening to Locked On Broncos are familiar with MileHighHuddle.com and follow our work there. If you've thought about pulling the trigger on a premium membership, Wednesday is the day to do so. Starting January 11th at 8 a.m., we're running a flash sale on premium memberships. From 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, you can get 9 months of premium for the price of one. For just $5, you'll be plugged in to everything we're doing to cover the Broncos at Mile High Huddle. Insider info, you know, coaching search nuggets, draft buzz, all 22 film articles, player features, premium videos, and more. Plus, as I mentioned at the top of the show, premium members get a 10% discount on every piece of Broncos team merchandise they purchase through Fanatics. Not just on the first purchase, but anytime you purchase Broncos gear at Fanatics, you put your membership code in at checkout and reap the 10% savings. Plus, premium members get 10% off on tickets through Ticketmonster. And again, those who choose to sign up for an annual membership, which costs $49, get a 1-year subscription to Sports Illustrated included. Now back to the flash sale. Again, it's a 9-month subscription for $5, which will take you all the way through free agency, the draft, OTAs, training camp, and into the regular season. So head on over to MileHighHuddle.com, click the join button, and take advantage of this limited time offer. Now let's move back to the Alabama side for the last player that we're going to spotlight today, and let's talk about linebacker Reuben Foster. This is an exciting prospect. He's a kid whom Pro Football Focus named as the most complete linebacker in the nation. He's 6'1", you know, somewhere around 230 pounds. Mile High Huddle's Nick Kendall talked about Foster a couple weeks ago. Nick put together a big board of the top 30 prospects, or he's working on it, that would fit the Broncos, kind of a Broncos big board, if you will. He had Foster ranked number 5. On Monday night, this kid had 12 total tackles, a tackle for a loss, a sack. I mean, he was everywhere. But Luke, is he going to be around at pick 20? Because the Broncos could certainly use some help at inside linebacker next to Brandon Marshall.
Well, it sure seems like Alabama's transformed itself into linebacker U, doesn't it? I mean, a couple of years ago, you have Dante Hightower, obviously C.J. Mosley. And last year, it was Reuben Foster's running mate in that backfield was Reggie Ragland. He was a guy who was very highly regarded.
Oh, yeah.
And he ended up going at the 41st pick in round two to the Buffalo Bills. Now, the difference between Ragland and Foster is I think Foster's a far better athlete. I mean, Ragland weighed 247 at the combine and ran a 4.72. I think Foster's going to run a lot faster than that. He's a complete prospect in so many ways. He's a great open field tackler. And, you know, he displays some great leadership abilities. So I do think he's going to be around in the middle of the first round. I'm not really sure how the NFL is going to look at him because, you know, you've got the Alabama defense and the knock on them year in and year out is, oh, he's surrounded by NFL level talent.
Yeah.
Especially considering that he's going to have, and you know, a lineman in front of him go top probably five in Jonathan Allen.
Do you think
Allen.
That's a fair argument, though, the whole talent, you know, surrounded by NFL talent?
You know, I think it is important for guys to stand out, but I don't think that it's necessarily a knock that they're surrounded by the best talent that the nation can offer, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially being that Bama is such an incredibly football conscious and football smart team, some of the work that they're doing right now on defense is what they would have learned as rookies. I mean, a lot of this is NFL level stuff. So for them to be able to execute that already, you know, a couple of years ahead of schedule, so to speak, I think it is a major point in their favor. Now that said, anybody's going to look good when they have, you know, Jonathan Allen this year, A'shaun Robinson last year, right. Jaron Reed last year, you know, they're going to look good. Let's be real.
Amen to that. This Foster kid, though, he's a guy that I really like, and it'll be interesting to see just kind of where he falls in that top 20, because I do think he's going to be in the top 20, at least from what I'm hearing, and just talking to guys like you, Luke, who know what they're talking about, follow the NFL draft, scout the players, mm-hmm. involved in the scouting community. This is a kid who's really exciting that I think could be a good fit for the Broncos, but then again, you got to flip the coin. Talk about needs, even though,
right.
you know, fans don't want to talk, you know, they look at it like, oh, well, no, the Broncos always draft best player available. And although there is merit to that argument, and I think you could go through and look and judge John Elway's drafts through that prism, but when you talk about best player available, more often than not, there's no getting around it. That's based on positions of need. You know, Broncos aren't right. going to draft the best quarterback. You know, if their top player is a quarterback and he's there at 20, Luke, they're not drafting that guy.
Right, exactly. And it comes down to Foster fits the mold of what Denver could use on this team. He's a little bit lighter and faster than a guy like Reggie Ragland is. But he brings the ruckus. This guy likes to play physical, aggressive, and he kind of fits the model of the fly to the ball linebackers that Wade Phillips loves to have in this defense.
Man, it's going to be fun breaking down NFL draft, projecting Broncos guys, fits. And in the coming days, weeks, months, we're going to be breaking it all down. So stay tuned. Be sure to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. You can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze and myself at Chad and Jensen. We want to hear from you, so hit us up. Also, check out the other killer podcasts on the network. You got Locked On NFL Draft right now, something you really should be listening to. It's become one of my daily listens. You got Locked On NFL. That's really going to be key to listen to, especially as we approach free agency. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.